The echoes from the blessed life bring grace he wrought, a path so divine. The prophet's best life, a treasure of time. The prophet's best life, a treasure of time. The echoes from the blessed life.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. Salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to another episode of the series, The Echoes from the Blessed Life. So far in our program, we've discussed events that have taken place before the announcement of the prophethood, before our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam declared that he's the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah al-Kareem, in today's episode, we'll discuss the events that took place when Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam announced prophethood, when Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam declared that he is the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a very famous hadith in Jami Tirmizi, and we heard that hadith in our last episode as well. We'll repeat it again one more time to make the concept of announcement of prophethood very clear. It is stated that Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated, they asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, when was the prophethood established for you? He sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam replied, while Adam was between being soul and body. When Sayyidina Adam ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam was being between soul and body. Before we proceed any further, let's listen to the blessing of Durood-e Pak, the final Prophet of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, Allah will write freedom from hypocrisy and freedom from hellfire between the eyes of whoever recites Durood upon me 100 times. He will also keep such a person amongst the martyrs on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Let's listen to the glorious verses of the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا لتؤمنوا بالله ورسوله وتعزروه وتوقروه وتسبحوه بكرة وأصيلا إن الذين يبايعونك إنما يبايعون الله يد الله فوق أيديهم فمن نكث فإنما ينكث على نفسه ومن أوفى بما عاهد عليه الله فسيؤتيه أجرا عظيما Sadaqallahu al-Azim.
Subhanallah, mashallah. We heard the tilawat. We heard the glorious verses of the Holy Quran from Surah Al-Fath, from verses 8, 9, and 10. Now let's listen to the translation of the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in Surah Fath, verse number 8, we have indeed sent you, O beloved, as a present eyewitness, i.e. Hazir and Nazir, and a conveyor of glad tidings and a warner, in order that, O people, you may believe in Allah and His Messenger, and honor and revere the Messenger, i.e. the beloved Prophet Muhammad, and you should glorify Allah morning and evening. Those who pledge allegiance to you, O beloved, they actually pledge allegiance to Allah. Allah's hand of power is above their hands. So whoever breaches the covenant, he has breached a big covenant of his. And whoever fulfills the covenant which he made with Allah, so very soon Allah will bestow upon him a great reward. Subhanallah. What a beautiful translation of Quran Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala has written. Subhanallah. Inshallah, we'll proceed with the naat of Rasulullah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wa Alihi Wasallam.
Sallallahu Alayka Ya Rasulullah Wa Sallam Alayka Ya پیغمبر کے ساتھ مشکل جواب میں ہے، بتا دو آ کر میرے پیغمبر کے ساتھ مشکل جواب میں ہے، اٹھا دو پردہ دکھا دو چہرہ کریم، ایسا ملا کہ جس کے کھلے ہیں ہاتھ برے خزانے، کریم ایسا ملا کریم، اپنے کرم کا صدقہ لعیم بے قدر کو نہ شرما، کریم اپنے کرم کا صدقہ لعیم بے قدر کو نہ شرما، تو اور رضا سے حساب لینا، تو اور رضا سے حساب لینا، رضا بھی کو دکھا دو چہرہ کے نور باری حجاب میں ہے، زمانہ تاریک ہو رہا ہے کہ مہر کب سے نقاب میں ہے، اٹھا
MashaAllah, subhanAllah, beautiful poetry by Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, beautiful naat by Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the sadaqah of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, grant us true love of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Ameen bijahil nabiyil kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وآلہ وسلم. My dear viewers of Madani channel, in our last episode, we discussed events that took place prior to the announcement of prophethood. And we briefly touched on the first revelation as well. Today, inshallah al-Kareem, we'll be talking in detail about the first revelation. Can you tell us, or even if you can briefly explain to us when the first revelation happened, what happened afterwards? And when did Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam announced his prophethood?
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Revelation began with true dreams. Whatever dream our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would have at night in his blessed sleep, the interpretation of that dream would later become clear like the brightness of the day and the light of the sun.
SubhanAllah.
6 months went by in this state in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would have these dreams.
And this was at the age when Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam's blessed apparent age was 40 years old, correct?
Yes. This was at the age, the blessed age of 40 years. And like I just mentioned, 6 months passed by in this state in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would experience these dreams, the interpretation of which would become clear as day. After these 6 months, in the blessed month of Ramadan, when the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in seclusion, in solitude, in the cave of Hira, one night, Sayyidina Jibra'il alayhi salam, the chief of all of the angels, he alayhi salam brought the first message, the first wahi, the first revelation from Allah Almighty.
And we've discussed in our past episode that at that blessed age, Prophet ﷺ was more inclined towards seclusion, and that's why he was going to the cave of Hira.
Yes, Alhamdulillah. So in this first revelation, this first wahi that Sayyidina Jibra'il alayhi salam brought to our beloved Prophet ﷺ from Allah the Almighty were the first few verses of Surah Alaq. Now, after this first revelation, which our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam received from Allah Almighty, the divine revelation stopped for a while. Now, as I just mentioned, after the first revelation, a revelation stopped for a while. Now, after some time, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was going somewhere one day, and someone called him by addressing him as, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
SubhanAllah.
When our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam looked up at the sky, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam found the same angel who had come into the cave with the first revelation. Now Sayyidina Jibra'il alayhi salam was sitting upon a throne between the earth and the sky.
SubhanAllah.
After witnessing such an event, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was obviously taken aback, and he sallallahu alayhi wasallam went home, lay down, and asked Sayyida Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha to cover him with a blanket.
SubhanAllah.
After this, the verses of the Holy Quran from Surah Al-Muddathir were revealed. Ya ayyuhal Muddathir.
SubhanAllah.
Qum fa'anzir. وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَهِّرْ وَالرُّجْزَ فَهْجُرْ. O you who is enveloped in a cloak, stand up and then warn and proclaim the purity of only your Lord.
Allah.
And keep your clothes pure and keep away from the idols. After having received this command from Allah Almighty, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made a firm intention to raise the flag of the truth and spread the call towards Islam.
So it was not after the first revelation that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam announced his prophethood. It was after the second one?
So yes, exactly. It was not after the first revelation that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had received in the cave of Hira, the beginning verses of Surah Alaq. Rather, it was after this revelation, the beginning verses of Surah Al-Muddathir, after which our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam proclaimed his prophethood and began to spread the call towards Islam.
It becomes very clear with the ayah too that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam by the blessed words, قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ SubhanAllah, mashaAllah.
This alhamdulillah is very common. You see this in the lives of the prophets alayhim wasalam, that they do not do anything without first receiving the command from Allah Almighty.
SubhanAllah.
Even further on in our series, in our program, we will learn that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would not even migrate from the blessed city of Makkatul Mukarramah to the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara without first having received permission from Allah Almighty to migrate.
SubhanAllah. And there are many incidents that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would wait until the command of Allah would arrive,
exactly.
Until revelation arrives, subhanAllah. What happened after that?
So after this command had been given by Allah Almighty to begin to warn the people and to spread the call towards Islam, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam then began to spread the call to Islam and invite people. And this, according to what we learned from the scholars, took place in phases.
So if you can explain a little bit more, how did the whole invitation to righteousness, how did the invitation to Islam take place?
So as I just mentioned, that this inviting towards Islam, this invitation towards Islam from our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam happened in phases. In the first phase, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam secretly invited those people to Islam who he sallallahu alayhi wasallam trusted and who were also acquainted with him, knew of the circumstances of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And these were the first people to be invited to Islam by our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Once again, this was done in secret. It was not done openly yet. It was just those people who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had trusted at that time and who were closely acquainted with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam at that time.
SubhanAllah.
So in this way, during this first phase of spreading the call towards Islam, inviting people towards Islam, this propagation of Islam continued secretly. And just as a thirsty person rushes towards fresh and cold water, in the same way, the fortunate people rushed devotionally towards accepting the invitation of truth, the invitation towards Islam.
SubhanAllah, mashaAllah.
This first phase of invitation towards Islam, it lasted for approximately 3 years. During this time, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would stay at the house of Arkam, and this is where our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would guide and educate the Muslims.
SubhanAllah. So during that first phase, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam started inviting his close, entrusted people. Who were the first individuals who actually accepted Islam?
SubhanAllah. This is a very beautiful question.
SubhanAllah.
And alhamdulillah, our scholars have given us a very beautiful answer. Generally, when you ask somebody who was the first to do something or who was the first person, you would get the answer back with one name, because how many firsts can there possibly be? But alhamdulillah, our scholars, our pious predecessors have given us a beautiful answer in which you have many firsts in different categories.
SubhanAllah.
So our scholars, they explained that the first woman to embrace Islam was Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. The first free man was Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The first amongst the children, the first child was Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
SubhanAllah, mashaAllah.
The first freed slave was Sayyidina Zayd bin Harisa radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
SubhanAllah.
And the first slave to embrace Islam was Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala.
The Muazzin of Rasul, right?
The Muazzin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And alhamdulillah, look how beautifully our scholars have explained the first individuals to embrace Islam. They've categorized it in such a way where alhamdulillah, all of these blessed personalities they were the first to embrace Islam in each one of their categories.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, mashallah. So this was phase one. What happened in phase two? And was there a phase three as well?
Yes, all of this took place in phase one. There were many more companions that embraced Islam, accepted the invitation towards Islam from our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam within this first phase. But as we've just learned, the first were the names that we have just heard, the blessed personalities whose names we have just heard. After these first 3 years, Allah Almighty revealed the verse of the Holy Quran, part 19, Surah Ash-Shu'ara, verse 214, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. And O beloved, warn your closest relatives.
Allah.
Now in this blessed verse of the Holy Quran, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been commanded to also invite his close relatives to Islam. So one day, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood upon Mount Safa and called the people of Quraysh. When all the people of the tribe of Quraysh had gathered, the final Prophet of Allah Almighty sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O my nation, if I say to you that an army is hiding behind this mountain which is about to attack you, will you believe me? All of them replied, yes, we would definitely believe you. We have always found you to be Al-Amin, the trustworthy, and As-Sadiq, the truthful one.
The blessed then, qualities that were being, I mean, that we've been told in previous episodes, that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was known as As-Sadiq and Al-Amin, subhanAllah.
It was renowned. Throughout the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah, everyone knew that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is As-Sadiq, the truthful one, and Al-Amin, the trustworthy one. So they said, most definitely, we would most definitely believe you if you told us something like this. Then the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remarked, I then say that I am warning you of divine torment. And if you do not embrace faith, then the torment of Allah Almighty will befall you. Having heard this, all the people of Quraysh, they became displeased and they began to leave. And even the uncle of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Lahab, he was also present there. And Astaghfirullah, Ma'azallah, he began to speak disrespectful words against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam never gave a reply to all of this disrespect from Abu Lahab. Rather, Allah Almighty revealed a surah, Surah Lahab of the Holy Quran, in defense of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite facing such harsh words and such disrespect from his own tribe, the tribe of Quraysh, from his own uncle, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not become disheartened. Rather, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued calling people towards Islam. Now, as we learned in the first phase in which our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was inviting everyone in secret, that phase lasted for approximately 3 years. After that 3 year period, Allah Almighty commanded our beloved Prophet to invite his sallallahu alaihi wasallam's close relatives to Islam. And that is when the second phase of this propagation, this invitation towards Islam began. This all took place during the second phase, which was after the initial 3 years of the first phase.
Was there another phase as well?
There was a third phase as well.
But we'll take a pause. We'll inshallah azza wa jalla, we'll get to the third phase after listening to the naat.
رسائی ہے That's all.
This truly depicts the work of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, right? The use of the words ban aayi and then banai, and jo aag bujha degi wo aag lagai hai. Alhamdulillah, we are very fortunate to be followers of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, right? One of the greatest wali of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, a mujaddid, alhamdulillah. And we should be grateful to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for making us the follower of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, and making us the follower of the individual who actually gave us the recognition, would we say, or gave us the understanding or introduced us, rather, to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala and told us who Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala is. SubhanAllah, we should be very grateful to Sayyidi Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatul Aliyah and show gratitude to him as well. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala grant long life with afiyat to Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatul Aliyah. Ameen Bijahin Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wa Sallam. Moving on to the phase 3 of the invitation to righteousness, invitation to Islam. What do we learn in phase 3?
So in the fourth year after the declaration of prophethood, Allah Almighty revealed the 94th verse of Surah Hijr, in which Allah Almighty states, فَاصْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرُ وَعَارِضْ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Therefore, publicly announce what you are commanded, and turn away your face from the polytheists. In this blessed verse, Allah Almighty commanded our beloved and blessed Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to propagate Islam openly to everyone. After this, our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam began propagating Islam, and he Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam began speaking against polytheism and idolatry openly. And it was in this phase when the opposition, severe opposition, began from not only the tribe of Quraysh, not only the people of Makkah, but rather the entire Arabian Peninsula. And this opposition, the difficulties that were faced by our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, by the Muslims, these carried on for a long period of time.
When we've heard about Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how his close family members, opposed what Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was inviting them towards. And then you just mentioned about the whole Arabian Peninsula. When the opposition grows so strong, of course, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam faced difficult time during that time too. Can you please tell us about the difficulties that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam faced while he was inviting towards righteousness?
Now, during this era, after this third phase towards the invitation towards Islam, many oppressions, the Muslims, our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the Muslims, they faced many oppressions. And these oppressions, they, like, going into detail, there's so many, and to such an extent where people, they would abuse the Muslims. They would hurl insults at our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They would lay thorns in the path of our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Despite all of these abuses, despite all of this oppression, and these are just a few examples that I've mentioned, they would call names to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would perform a miracle, and they would, astaghfirullah, ma'azallah, say that it's magic. our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite verses of the Holy Quran, and they would, mazallah, say that it's poetry. Now, because the kuffar of Makkah, they feared that the Banu Hashim, the family of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, would take revenge from them. Because of this, they never attempted to take the life. Eventually, during this time, the kuffar, they were surprised to see that despite everything that they did, all of the oppressions that they were inflicting upon our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims, despite all of this, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued to spread the call towards Islam, continued calling people towards the truth. And one day, the leaders of the Quraysh, they gathered in the Haram, and they wanted to discuss the matter with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that why, despite facing so many difficulties, despite facing all of these oppressions, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had not forsaken his mission. So they began to wonder amongst themselves, does he want leadership? Does he want power? Does he want wealth? Does he want respect? What does he want? Therefore, they sent a person to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to find out the reason, why the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam carried on with his mission despite all of these difficulties. What was the aim of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? When that person, he approached the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in private, and he asked, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is it that you want? Is it power? Is it wealth? Or is it respect? Is it marriage to a woman of nobility? I guarantee that if you leave Islam and tell me of whatever you desire, all of Makkah will submit themselves to you and will fulfill all of your desires. In response to this, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to recite verses of the Holy Quran. The effect of the recitation of the Holy Quran made that person fearful of Allah Almighty. The hairs on his body stood up. He placed his hand over the mouth of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Stop your reading. It is beginning to affect my heart." Now, this person, he was a brilliant speaker. He returned back to his people and he said, whatever Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam speaks is definitely not poetry.
Allah.
Or magic. He recites something which is indescribable. My advice is to let him be. If he succeeds amongst the Arabs, it will be an honor for Quraysh. And if not, mazallah, they will kill him. The kuffar of Quraysh paid no heed to the advice of this man, and they began to intensify the persecution of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So their mission, their whole goal, was to try to find out how they could get our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to stop preaching Islam, to stop the invitation to Islam.
So despite all the difficulties, despite all the hardship, Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam so determined in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was
never quit, alhamdulillah, never gave up, never stopped preaching the call towards the truth.
Call towards Islam.
Never stopped preaching the call towards Islam, never stopped propagating. And this is just one example. There's another example as well in which the kuffar of Makkah, they approached the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to try to convince our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to stop spreading the call to Islam, to stop preaching and propagating Islam. So they met with the uncle of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Talib, and they complained about our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spreading the call towards Islam and preaching against the worshipping of idols. Abu Talib respectfully explained the circumstances and bid them farewell. By the command of Allah Almighty, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued to preach the oneness of Allah Almighty, to condemn idolatry and kufr, and this further angered the kuffat. So as eventually a number of the nobles of Quraysh, they approached Abu Talib and explained their case against the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying to Abu Talib that he should either not get in their way and hand over the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to them, or join the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and let fate decide what the outcome would be between these two groups. Abu Talib understood this to be a very serious threat. He understood that the Quraysh, they're not playing around anymore. They're very serious about the threats they're making. And he knew that he couldn't take on the whole entire Quraysh on his own. So he decided to speak to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
So from denying the truth, it went to offending Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam through hardships. And now they're at a point where they're reaching his relatives and threatening him.
First they tried negotiating, they tried, you know, seeing what the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted. They thought they could, astaghfirullah, ma'azallah, they thought they could buy the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
They thought they could stop Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam from what he was doing.
Exactly. Any which way, they tried all their different approaches. And now finally it came to the point where they began threatening not only the beloved Prophet, but even his family, his relatives. So Abu Talib, he said to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Have mercy on your uncle whose beard has turned gray. Do not put a greater burden on me than I can bear. Every child of Quraysh looks up to me, but gathering from their tone of voice today, I doubt they will hesitate in using their swords against me or you.
Allahu Akbar.
I am asking you to stop preaching Islam for only a short while." So this is Abu Talib now speaking to the beloved Prophet after having received the threats from the Quraysh.
And Abu Talib loved very dearly, he really loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Exactly. Until this point, the strongest supporter of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Abu Talib. Hearing these words from his strongest supporter, the uncle of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "O uncle, by Allah Almighty, even if Quraysh were to place the sun in one of my hands and the moon in my other hand, I will still never abandon the task of propagating Islam. Either Allah Almighty will enable me to make Islam dominant, or I will die trying." These words of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam deeply moved Abu Talib, and he replied, "My beloved nephew, continue doing what you are doing. I am with you and will never leave your side for as long as I live. No one will be able to harm you, even in the slightest."
Allah.
Now this was a point where Abu Talib, he had reached a point where, you know, he was finally caving in to the pressures from the Quraysh. But after hearing these words, after hearing the determination from our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he once again told the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that, "I am your supporter."
Subhanallah, it's amazing. And what, like what you said, right? Before, Abu Talib was saying that he now fears that the remainder of the tribe of Quraysh will take out their sword against Abu Talib and against Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. But then seeing the determination of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and the sincerity has such an impact on Abu Talib that he started supporting Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillah. And during this very time, while the Muslims are facing many difficulties at the hands of the Kuffar, they're torturing the Muslims, they're harming the Muslims, they're trying to harm the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, insulting the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave permission to some of the Sahaba, some of the followers of Islam, permission to migrate to Abyssinia. That was something that took place during that time, so I thought I'd mention.
So this migration to Abyssinia, would that be considered as the first migration?
That is considered as the first migration. But our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not migrate himself. Rather, he gave permission to his companions to migrate. Also during this time, the disbelievers of Makkah, they still had the idea in their minds, the illusion that they thought they would be able to destroy Islam or to weaken Islam because of the oppressions that they were inflicting upon the Muslims. But despite everything that they did, despite all of their efforts, the numbers of the Muslims continued to rise. And due to this, the Quraysh, they became extremely angry. They were infuriated. They didn't know what to do. They tried everything in their power, but despite everything they're doing, Islam is only growing stronger. The Muslims are only increasing. This got to the point where eventually the chiefs of the Quraysh and the other disbelievers of Makkah, they made a plan that they would completely boycott the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family. Then according to this plan, all the tribes of Quraysh made an agreement that no one will marry into the family of Banu Hashim. No one will do any kind of trade with the Banu Hashim, and no one will socialize or converse with them or greet them or meet them until the family of Banu Hashim hands the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam over to the Kuffar. No one should let any food reach them either. This agreement was written down, and all the chiefs of Quraysh signed it, and then they hung it inside of the Holy Kaaba. Now except for Abu Lahab, all the people of Banu Hashim, they were besieged in the ravine of Abu Talib. It is also known as Shibe Abi Talib. There were also non-Muslims who were also besieged with him only because of their relation to the beloved Prophet ﷺ. So even people from the family of the beloved Prophet ﷺ who did not accepted Islam at that point, even they were besieged with the beloved Prophet ﷺ. Now all the people of Banu Hashim, they remained in that place, Shibe Abi Talib, for 3 years. And these 3 years were so tough that the Banu Hashim would eat leaves and cook dried skin to eat. Due to hunger, the small children would cry so loudly that their voices could be heard far away. But the stone-hearted disbelievers had placed guards over the ravine. So they had placed guards around there on all sides so that no food or provision could reach the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or his family. Now after 3 years passed by in this state where no one is socializing with the family of the beloved Prophet, people can't take food to the family of the beloved Prophet, they've been besieged in that area for 3 years. Now, after 3 years, Allah Almighty gave the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam news that termites have eaten and destroyed the agreement in such a way that nothing was left of that agreement except for the name of Allah Almighty.
SubhanAllah.
The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave this news to Abu Talib, who in turn went and told the disbelievers of Quraysh and said, "O group of Quraysh, my nephew has given me this news, so bring your agreement, and if this news is true, then stop this oppression. And if this news isn't true, then I will hand my nephew over to you personally." So this is how much trust Abu Talib had in our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quraysh, they agreed to this. They thought the agreement is still there, and now finally Abu Talib will hand his nephew over to us. But Abu Talib, he had that trust in the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the kuffar, they agreed to this, and when they went and saw the agreement, they were absolutely amazed to see that it was exactly how the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated. And that is when this 3 year siege of the family of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Banu Hashim, finally came to an end.
Allahu Akbar. Such a difficult time Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started facing right after, when as he went to his relatives and then to public and then social boycott. It's very tough with no food, no trade. It's like three years.
Allahu Akbar.
It's a lot of difficult time. I mean, it's
beyond our imagination.
I have no words to describe it. Yeah, can't even describe
understand.
It. Understand the difficulties that were faced in the path of inviting others to righteousness. But that teaches us something too, that if we set out to invite others to righteousness, and if we face difficulties, the way of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the determination to the cause, that no matter how big the difficulty is, no matter how many problems we encounter, no matter how many issues we face, we need to be determined to our cause and keep inviting others to righteousness, and inshallah success will prevail the invitation to righteousness will succeed, inshallah.
Now, after this siege had ended, and after these 3 years had passed, not too long after our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family returned to their own homes, the uncle of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Talib, he passed away. And our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was greatly grieved over the passing, over the death of Abu Talib. And not even a week had passed since the death of Abu Talib that the beloved wife of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, also passed away.
Allah.
And in Makkah, these two people, these two personalities, they were the ones who were the closest to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were the ones who supported and helped the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at every step. And this year after having been besieged for the past 3 years, this year was known as the year of sorrow, the year in which the uncle of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, and the year in which the first mother of the believers, the beloved wife of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, also passed away. Just like this, we can't even cover all of the difficulties that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced during these beginning stages of the invitation towards Islam. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam preached Islam despite facing all of these difficulties. There were so many other events that took place, so many other stories in which our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced the oppression of his own people. But despite all of this, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never ever gave up on his mission of spreading and propagating Islam. Now, this also shows us how fortunate we are that we, alhamdulillah, were blessed with Islam at birth.
Alhamdulillah.
Imagine the struggles that were faced to bring Islam to this point where, alhamdulillah, we were born Muslims.
Alhamdulillah. And we're sitting in US with such a great environment with AC turned on, and alhamdulillah, we have a carpet right underneath on the floor. We're sitting on the sofa enjoying the luxuries of life, enjoying the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the sacrifices that were made for the propagation of Islam, for inviting towards righteousness. And you're right, we can't even fathom that. We can't even imagine the difficult time. If we go through a difficult time in our own lives, I mean, it becomes really heavy up for us, and we can't even find a way to get out of them. But imagine that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam went through such a difficult time. But look at us, alhamdulillah, to the sacrifices that were made by Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, by Sahaba ikram alayhim ridwan. And today, we are, alhamdulillah, in such a great environment. It is all due to their sacrifices. My dear viewers of Madani channel, inshallah, so we'll continue our session next. In our next episode, we'll be discussing the blessed migration, all the difficulties that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam faced. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam to migrate. How was that like? What events happened during that time? Inshallah, we will discuss it in our next episode. Till then, take care of yourself, and we'll see you again next time. Inshallah al-Kareem. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
The echoes from the blessed life. With grace he walked, a path so divine. Prophet's best life, a treasure of time. Prophet's best life, a treasure of time. The echoes from the blessed life.